Enough to join us. What's happening, Kevin? How are you doing?
You know, it's a nice day in Laramie. I'm assuming it is in Cheyenne as well.
Beautiful outside. A little breezy at times. A little gusty, but I'm not going to complain too much about that. Not bad.
That's a gentle zephyr.
Yeah, very. How are you doing over there?
Good. A plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice A+. Very nice. All right, Kevin, something we've been talking... Oh, go ahead. JJ?
No, I just had a question for you, Kevin. It looks like, you know, numbers coming out on beer and wine sales, maybe about, after paying for your startup costs, maybe making about, you know, less than what you guys expected. How do you get Cowboys fans and Cowgirls fans to drink more beer?
Well, that one is a good question. I mean, because I know how to do it. I don't know why they don't.
You know how to get them to drink more beer, or you know how to drink more beer?
I know how to drink more beer.
All right.
So, yeah, first year, I think, all in all, not bad. Maybe a little less than we expected, but we won't have those startup costs next year, so that'll be a big help. I just still think it's a positive and just another nice thing for fans at our events. They're used to it everywhere else, and something we had to do, and I think it'll just get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, $104,000 is still nothing to sneeze at the end of the day.
Well, no, I mean, it's. I think when you get those startup costs out of there, it's not bad at all. And as I say, I think that people, the more they get used to knowing that it's there, I think it'll always be a real good thing for the university.
Kevin, a topic we were just talking about beforehand, coming out yesterday, but, you know, the Rice Commission on the FBI investigation to try and change some things in college basketball, and you're kind of right there with the University of Wyoming athletic program. But I want to get your thoughts on this one. Wendell Carter was at Duke. His mom spoke yesterday at a meeting of the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics, and she compared the current system of NCAA basketball to slavery and a prison system. That, to me, is just so far out of bounds. It's really not even funny, especially when you start comparing that, because and I'm going to read you a quote, and it's kind of long here. I just want to get your thoughts. She said, "When you remove all the bling and the bells and the sneakers and all that, you've paid for a child to come to your school to do what you wanted them to do for you for free, and you made a lot of money when he did that. And you've got all the rules in place that say he cannot share in any of that. The only other time when labor does not get paid, but yet someone else gets profits, and the labor is black and the profit is white, is in slavery." I mean, that's a bold statement to make, but it's completely way away from the truth, isn't it?
Well, there's going to be opinions on all sides of this. You know, from my personal viewpoint, I just don't agree with that. I think that a college education is not slavery. You know, I think that's something that is a right, and it's. You know, something that every young person should strive to do. And if your athletic ability gets that for you, or if you're getting scholarships as a microbiologist, it's the fact you're getting a college education is the bottom line of it. I'm sure that there'll be all kinds of opinions on it. I just don't look at it that way, and I've been in the business a long time, and I think the experiences that these young people have with teammates and teams and successes and their college education, I wouldn't call that slavery.
So the current players today, Kevin, do you get a sense? I mean, yeah, we'd all like to get paid for stuff like that, but they're getting a cost of living, you know, right there along with their scholarship. But do you get a feeling that they're appreciative of what they are receiving?
Well, I think the vast majority is. I'm sure there are some who don't, and they feel like they should share in the profits of the university. Again, I think there's all kinds of opinions on that, but I think in the main they are appreciative of the education they've received and of the college experience and the experience they've had with teammates and their teams. I don't hear that very often at all, and so I just felt like that was a little extreme.
Well, and I think what she's got is totally wrong. That's not slavery. That's called barter. You provide services for a product offered, you know. So he plays basketball for an education. It's a barter arrangement. If he doesn't want to do it, lay out a year and go straight to the NBA. Nobody's forcing him to twist his arm to go to college for that year. He doesn't have to play basketball that year. He can go overseas and play. He can do whatever he wants, but he didn't have to go to, you know, Duke University and get a $50,000 plus all the other benefit year education, you know, to play basketball.
Yeah, I still think it's a heck of a deal, and I'm sure there's some that feel like they're being taken advantage of, but I don't know. Me personally, I sure wish I would have had the ability to be able to do that and to play, compete in college athletics while getting my education paid for. I think that would have been a heck of a deal, but as I said, there's going to be people who don't agree with that, and many who will. I just don't look at it as slavery in any way.
The problem was they just didn't have peewee basketball when you were in college.
Wow.
No, they did not. You're absolutely right.
Kevin, you know, and this is what amazes me sometimes, especially with some of the national media, that, you know, yeah, there are some really, really talented collegiate football, basketball players that, you know, collectively bring a lot of money to the universities that they play at and go to, where they go to school. But the problem lies is that you can't just pay those guys because you have something called Title IX. And a lot of these people just think, oh, we'll just play the high-end football and basketball players and we'll call it good. Well, legally, you can't do that. And it goes – so many people forget about that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you don't expect them to think about that, really, because it's they get very emotional about it, just as she did. And you know, I can't imagine having a better situation than playing the sport I love, getting an education and getting paid for it. I think that's a wonderful opportunity, and I would be. Me personally, I'd be very proud to have that happen. But that's not how she feels about it, and I'm sure there's some who agree with her. But I would imagine that many do not.
It's not often we get this serious with you on our interviews, Kevin.
No, I know. I'm taken aback.
especially on May 8th, you know, in the so-called off season in sports.
Yeah, but you know, she was very emotional about it, and uh-huh. She was saying what she felt, and that's certainly her right. But you know, someone who's been in college athletics for almost 50 years, like I have, I just don't agree with that viewpoint of it, and I think it's. A heck of a privilege to represent a university in competing in what you really enjoy.
Could I make an argument, kind of switching gears here, the lighter sort of things? So the Mountain West Track and Field Championships begin tomorrow, but the Cowboys and Cowgirls won't start competing until Thursday. But could I make an argument that Jayla Henderson, the long jumper and the triple jumper, is the best athlete at the University of Wyoming?
Well, I would say that she probably... is right up there. I'd probably get some argument from some, but mm-hmm. I think she's spectacular, and she's obviously a national talent and maybe an international talent. I don't know. I couldn't name you anybody off the top of my head who's any better athletically.
I don't know. Her coach might have something to say about that. You know, Quincy was pretty good back in his day.
Well, back in the day, he was outstanding, and I'll tell you, he's had a lot to do with her success, and I know she'd say that. He's a heck of a coach, and he's a Hall of Famer, and he was a great, great athlete in his day.
I just meant currently, not of all time. I just meant currently.
Currently, I'd say she's probably top two or three, if not number one.
Okay.
There's a lot of us that were a lot better back in the day than we are now.
Are you referring to yourself?
Yeah. I think he is, because he couldn't be referring to me.
Because you've aged well, Kevin.
I think so. Like a fine wine.
People are always amazed that you're only 2 years younger than I am. They're like my grandson or something.
Well, you know, is that true?
Yeah, it's true, and you know it's true.
That's the first I've heard of this.
We don't need to go there. We're talking about Jayla Henderson. And, I mean, how did we get off on you being so much older than I am?
Not being so much older, just looking so much older.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, certainly a pleasure visiting with you. And
We will do it again. Hopefully it's a little more lighter subject type matter next
Let's
time
around. Make it lighter next time. And thank God you didn't bring up the Cardinals.
Okay, well, you just did, so...
Yeah, I know. I just don't talk
about it. I thought they swept the Cubs.
Well, they got swept by the Twins.
They did.
7-1 and 6-0.
They got swept themselves.
Yeah.
They're a conundrum.
We'll talk next week, Kevin.
Okay, see you guys.
See you,
Kevin. There you go, Kevin.